from KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny. Well, yesterday, Governor Jerry Brown signed into law a bill known as the California Dream Act. It gives college students who are undocumented immigrants easier access to privately funded tuition assistance. And it comes on the heels of some Latino disappointment of Brown's veto of a bill to make it easier for farm workers to unionize. And so for the rest of this hour, we're going to take the temperature of Jerry Brown's relationship with the Latino community, a key constituency for sure for him and the Democratic Party. Joining me right now is Luis DeCipio. He's Associate Professor of Political Science and Chair of Chicano Latino Studies at the University of California at Irvine. Professor, good to have you with us this morning.
My pleasure.
First of all, this California Dream Act, of course, named similarly to the federal Dream Act, which failed to make it to President Obama's desk last year. Tell me the importance of it, not just to the Latino community, but to California.
Sure. Well, it's symbolically very important to the unauthorized community and then to Latinos more generally in California. It is the first step in ensuring that unauthorized students in the UC system, in the Cal States, have access to financial aid. It only guarantees, though, very limited access to financial aid because it's money raised privately and then funneled through the university. So the more substantive kind of Dream Act at the state level would be one that would allow unauthorized students to be eligible for financial aid comparable to other students. And then, of course, the real Dream Act, the federal one, would provide a path to legal status for unauthorized students.
And this California version has nothing to do with citizenship.
Right. That is a federal responsibility, and states really don't have any control over that.
Now, there was recently a state Supreme Court ruling confirming that California's policy of allowing undocumented immigrants, among others, to get in-state tuition as long as they've gone to high school here for, I think, 3 years or more, that was a valid policy. So they already get the in-state tuition, but this is just an additional source of money that might enable them to get through college if they can't afford it.
Exactly. And a lot of unauthorized families aren't very affluent, so they would normally be eligible for support from the UC system, from the California state government to allow them to attend colleges, which, you know, is getting very expensive these days. At the moment, they're paying the full ride, you know, comparable to much more affluent students.
And we're also joined now by Luis Alejo. He is an assembly member from the 28th District on the Central Coast, the Salinas-Monterey area. He's also the principal co-author of the California Dream Act. Good to have you with us this morning, Assemblyman.
Good to join you.
What would you add to what we just heard from Professor DeCipio in terms of the importance of the Dream Act? There's a second part of this coming, which would also enable those undocumented students to have access to public financing, like Cal grants and so on. I assume that that's really the more important part of this effort.
I would definitely agree with that. The California Dream Act, both parts, were, I think, one of the most important pieces of legislation for the Latino community here in the Salinas Valley, where there's thousands of farm worker families working out in the fields. It's the piece of legislation that would allow their children, many who are undocumented, to have that opportunity to get that financial aid to be able to afford college. So yesterday's signing of AB 130 is to be commended and applauded, but certainly the most important legislation is still stuck in the Senate Appropriations Committee. But we believe you'll get out and be able to come to a full vote by the Senate and eventually land on the governor's desk. And I know yesterday he commented that he looks at that piece of legislation of the Dream Act very favorably.
And why is it stuck in committee?
Because that's in the appropriations committees where they look at the fiscal impact that it would have. It went through the same analysis in the assembly, but nonetheless it got out of the assembly appropriations committee. And when we return after August 15th is when the assembly appropriations committee will be taking up bills that have a possible fiscal impact. But we think that there's enough support in the Senate among the committee members that it get out and move forward in the process.
The governor, as I mentioned, recently vetoed a bill that was important to farm workers, the UFW, which would have made it easier for farm workers to organize. Do you see this, the governor's signing of this bill yesterday and his indication that he might sign the second half of it, as sort of a makeup?
Well, obviously, we were very disappointed when the governor vetoed the Fair Treatment for Farm Workers Act. I mean, it was a top priority. I think all the members of the Latino Legislative Caucus made it very clear that this was a very important piece of legislation for farm workers throughout California. The Legislative Caucus, Latino Legislative Caucus, is comprised of 23 members. Collectively, we represent 13 million constituents throughout the state of California. And so obviously, when he vetoed that, we were very disappointed. But nonetheless, the governor was still open to meeting with us and was still is committed to continue working with us on that issue. But I think the California Dream Act signing yesterday and his comments towards other half yesterday is in a reaction. I think he indicated that during his campaign, in particular a huge debate between the governor and Meg Whitman in Fresno during the Univision debate. He already had indicated that he was supportive of the Dream Act when a student at Fresno State who was undocumented asked him that pointed question.
Professor DeCipio, we just heard the Assemblyman allude to the gubernatorial campaign, and of course Meg Whitman had that undocumented housekeeper scandal, and in some part the governor owes his win to that and to Latino voters. What do you think at this point is the relationship between the governor and Latinos, not just legislative leaders, but the community itself? Do you think is there disappointment, or is it too soon to say anything like that?
It's really too early to say. I think there's a high degree of ambivalence about the governor, you know, over his career, which is quite a long one at this point. He's been at times very supportive of Latino issues and at times more distant. I think the Latino community has high expectations for the governor, certainly based on his performance sort of in the late stages of the campaign. But they really trust the legislature a little bit more, and that came through in a Public Policy Institute of California poll recently. And I think the Assemblyman has identified the reason. There are Latino representatives in the Assembly and in the State Senate, and they're closer to the concerns of Latino communities than perhaps the governor is. But the real test will be financial aid for unauthorized students. If that bill does come out of the legislature and the governor signs it, that'll be a major step forward for the Latino community.
Assemblyman Alejo, I imagine you were probably a young boy when the governor was governor the first time. And I'm just wondering if you feel that this version of Jerry Brown is how it's different based on what you know, what you've read, and what you've heard or experienced for that matter from the current version of the governor in terms of his thoughts about issues involving Latinos. I mean, he was a big friend of Cesar Chavez, of course, and was seen as really pushing forward the rights of farm workers back in the 70s and 80s. What do you think's changed?
Well, I think that's a big reason why there is high expectations from the fastest growing population here in the state of California. Latinos played a key role in his victory. They overwhelmingly came out in support, but with the expectations that he was going to really take on issues that were shut out by the previous governor. And I would agree, so far it's a wait and see. This is a good bill that he signed yesterday, but it's not enough. I think the Latinos have a lot more expectations of him, and also based on his past history, he did sign the Agricultural Labor Relations Act. The first time around, he appointed the first Latino to the California Supreme Court, the Honorable Cruz Reynoso. But so far, it's been a wait and see. He's been very slow in appointing more Latinos in his appointments. I think there could be better representation there. It's been a big push, certainly from the Latino Legislative Caucus, that we have been very involved in putting forward names of highly qualified Latinos and Latinas for him to consider. We didn't want there to be an excuse that there wasn't enough people putting their names forward to be considered for these top positions that he has power over appointing.
All right, we're talking with Luis Alejo, Assemblyman from the Central Coast, the 28th District, representing the Salinas-Monterey area. Also, Luis DeCipio, Professor of Political Science, Chair of the Chicano Latino Studies Department at the University of California at Irvine. And we'd love to hear from you if you are Latino or not, and what you think about the DREAM Act that the governor signed into law yesterday, your thoughts even about his upcoming appointment to the state Supreme Court that Luis Alejo just alluded to. The number is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org. Luis DeCipio, getting to that Supreme Court appointment that Assemblyman Alejo just alluded to, there is a vacancy. Carlos Moreno retired at the end of February, I believe, and there's a lot of pressure on him to appoint a Latino, but he hasn't done that yet, and he may not do it, at least not this time around with this vacancy. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think it's very important if Governor Brown wants to leave a legacy that he, you know, create the state that he envisions. And Governor Brown certainly understands the diversity of California. So, you know, this would be a prime opportunity for Governor Brown, who may well only be a one-term governor, you know, to ensure that his legacy survives past his term. I have wondered, without knowing too much about it, you know, what the delay is in making an appointment. It would seem important to the state to have a complete Supreme Court, but I'll trust that other things are going on up in Sacramento.
Assemblyman Alejo, what would you add to that? I know that the Latino Caucus has put forward at least four candidates for the governor to consider. Do you expect that one of them will be chosen? And how important is it to have a Latino on the Supreme Court?
I think it's absolutely important that Justice Carlos Moreno, who has a very impressive history as a justice on the California Supreme Court, that his legacy continue, that he be replaced with another highly qualified Latino or Latina. There certainly has never been a Latina to serve on the California Supreme Court. So the Latino Caucus has been very involved over the last several months, and in fact, since last January, in vetting some names, putting some highly qualified candidates forward, and hoping that the governor would choose out of at least the four that we put forward. And we've been in meeting regularly with his staff and reminding the governor how important this position is for Latinos, that it's when they comprise such a large portion of California's population, that our state's highest court be reflective of those demographics. And certainly the governor there's two California Court of Appeal positions. There's numerous Superior Court positions. And I think that was a major mistake that Governor Schwarzenegger made, where he had the opportunity to further diversify the bench and appoint more Latinos to the courts. And certainly, I think his legacy was he certainly didn't appoint enough during his two terms as governor. Here with Governor Jerry Brown, he has the opportunity to take make his decisions and go down a different path and really take this without most concern that he's going to take our issues and our concerns, that the judicial bench should have more Latinos serving at all levels.
And of course, there isn't an African American member of the state Supreme Court. Hasn't been for several years now after Janice Rogers Brown left. The black community would like to see an African American judge, no doubt. How does that get resolved? Can one judge satisfy both communities? Assemblyman?
I think there could be a non-Latino who's able to represent the concerns of the Latino community, and certainly I think we're all for that our state's highest court be reflective of the diversity of the people throughout the state of California. It'd be great to have also an African-American Supreme Court justice as well. But certainly our message to the governor on behalf of the Latino caucus has been that this was the top priority for the caucus. We were expecting that he would continue to allow Latino or Latina to continue to serve on the state's highest court. That doesn't take away from any. We don't want to be sending a message that we're in competition with others. Certainly, it would certainly be great to have another African American serve on the state's highest court as well. But certainly, we're hoping that the great work that Carlos Moreno has already done over the last 10 years or so, that would continue by having another Latino continue to serve on our state's highest court.
All right. Assemblyman Luis Alejo and Professor Luis DeCipio from the University of California at Irvine talking about Governor Brown's signing of the DREAM Act and Latino politics in California. If you'd like to join us, the number is 866-733-6786. Love to know your thoughts about the DREAM Act or any other aspect of Latino politics in the state of California. 866-733-6786. We've got an email here from Rick, who writes that my son just recently graduated from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and because of a family divorce, needed to earn part of his tuition. To do this, he joined the Army and will give 6 years of his life to pay for the scholarship. By the way, he graduated with honors. It seems to me unfair that people who are not even legal residents of our state are getting private financing, which will diminish the overall supply of scholarship funding without any serious contribution to our society. Luis DeCipio, how do you respond to that kind of sentiment?
Well, you know, the private financing actually may be new kinds of money, money that wouldn't be available otherwise. In other words, people who are contributing specifically to help AB 540 students. But the broader point is, you know, the long-term contributions of these students. And there I'd probably disagree with the gentleman who sent the email. These folks came, you know, through no fault of their own. They followed their parents, you know, and the parents really probably didn't give them very much choice. And these are the most successful of young adults in U.S. society. You know, they've overcome barriers to graduate high school. They've made it into either the UC system or the Cal State system. And they're going to contribute back to U.S. society. I don't think there's any real question about that. What we're trying to do here is to ensure that we sort of seize that investment that we've already made in them by ensuring that they can graduate from high school to let them get through college. But the broader point is it's really not going to diminish resources that would be available for this gentleman's son because there'll be new funds.
Well, we have a bit of breaking news here relevant to what we're talking about. The San Jose Mercury News and others are reporting that Jerry Brown is nominating to the California Supreme Court UC Berkeley law professor Goodwin Liu, who you may recall was nominated to the federal bench by President Obama. His nomination got stuck in the Senate and failed. Goodwin Liu, fairly young, Asian American. And he will become, I believe, if he is confirmed, the fourth Asian American on the California Supreme Court. Luis Alejo, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I'm reading the news as you are. So this certainly is, it's surprising. I think it's certainly not to take anything away from Professor Liu. I haven't read fully his background and credentials. He appears to be another highly qualified candidate, but certainly I'd have to express, you know, the disappointment from the Latino Legislative Caucus not having one of our very highly qualified candidates. There was no excuse that there wasn't other great candidates from the Latino community, specifically within the legal profession. I mean, we submitted names from candidates who were strong legal scholars, a candidate who served on the Court of Appeals, a local superior court, candidates with a strong public interest law background. We provided a wide, diverse range of names that the governor really should have picked from. And so certainly I think from on behalf of the Latino caucus, I'm sure from the Latino legal community throughout the state of California, there is a strong sense of disappointment in hearing this news, which certainly surprised us all. The governor himself came to talk to the Latino caucus back in February, and we conveyed how important this position was to him. He asked us to be involved, to submit names to him. We've been in good faith doing that. So to get this kind of news certainly was is a big disappointment today.
Luis Escipio, what are your thoughts about another Asian American, highly qualified by many accounts, Goodwin Liu, to be nominated for the state Supreme Court?
You know, my suspicion is that if he's confirmed, Mr. Liu won't be on the California Supreme Court for a long time. I sort of suspect this is a strategy on Governor Brown's part, maybe thinking about a legacy to position Mr. Liu for another appointment to the federal courts, whether the Ninth Circuit or back to the Supreme Court again with a different configuration of the U.S. Senate. You know, there was a lot of support for Mr. Liu in the United States Senate, and it was filibuster that prevented his appointment. Pretty rare at the appellate court level. So I sort of suspect in the relatively short term there will be another appointment for Mr. Liu at the federal level.
All right. Well, let's go to the calls now. Wyatt is on the line in San Mateo with, Connie in Oakland. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi there. So I'm a Latina. Fortunately, my parents came here at a time where it was much easier to emigrate from Latin America. I think it's fabulous that the governor has signed this law. There are so many immigrant children here who are fantastic students, who are role models for other students, and their only issue is that they are undocumented, and they had no say in being brought here. And because they know their family situation, they know that the only way they're going to be able to get ahead in this world is by being good students. And it's fabulous. These students do contribute to our communities. These families do contribute. They pay taxes. Maybe they pay when they buy gasoline, when they buy milk. They are contributing to our society. They are contributing to our coffers. And I just want to commend the governor And because the Latinos in this country, in this state, are contributing. We've made the state what it is, and we're making it better. And I think it's really a cause for celebration.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. And let me just ask you, Professor DeCipio, we were talking earlier about the farm worker bill that the governor vetoed, and I'm wondering if you think there's a generational split in California among Latinos in terms of the kinds of issues that they think are most important, that are highest on their priority list, something like the DREAM Act versus the organizing bill that the governor vetoed.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I'm not sure with the DREAM Act, but certainly with the organizing bill, that's an issue that speaks to an older generation of Latinos who have, you know, more connections to the organizing of the 60s and 70s, and then certainly to the sort of agricultural experience of Latinos of that era. Today's young Latino adults, or at least those in urban areas, which is the vast majority, sort of know symbolically the importance of the farm worker movement, but it doesn't really touch them. Certainly, the decision of Governor Brown and the legislature to raise fees in general at UCs and Cal States hits them at home much more than does, you know, the supporter or the veto of the farm worker organizing bill. I think it's very important, and certainly the leadership of the Latino community has articulated support for the farm worker organizing bill, but it's not an issue that's going to speak to sort of the average Latino voter on the streets.
Luis Alejo, what do you think about that?
Well, I think from what we've been able to convey, there's been a lot of issues that have gone to Sacramento. I think the similar arguments could have been made back in the mid-1970s, you know, for Latino farm workers that, you know, considering that in California, the vast majority of Latinos live in urban areas, you know, they're not exposed to agriculture, but certainly there's still a significant population in the Central Valley, here in the Salinas Valley, Imperial, Coachella Valley, where there's high numbers of Latinos, and certainly there's like a sense that farm workers, those who put food on our table, should have better rights out in the fields. Here we had some tragic deaths of heat exposure, demonstrating the need that there needs to be greater protections out in the field, a better ability for farm workers to organize and improve their conditions out in the fields all throughout California. And certainly back in 1970, many were not connected with those types of issues, but nonetheless, they became highly publicized. There was major demonstrations, a lot of awareness being done to demonstrate the plight of farm workers throughout California. But my sense is that your average Latino still believes and would support legislation that would help improve those lives of other farm workers, whether they're in urban areas or not. This is certainly, I think, the most important legislation since 1975 that would really have a dramatic impact on the lives of farm workers throughout our state.
All right, let me read an email from Janice in Point Arena, who writes, I'm not Latina, but my nephew's partner is undocumented. She recently graduated with honors from another state university, majoring in physics and math, minoring in French. Now she's unable to work or even drive legally. While I really appreciate Governor Brown's signing of the California DREAM Act, what is to happen after graduation to these deserving young people? What are your thoughts about that, Professor DeCipio? There are still considerable barriers to employment and other things for people who are undocumented.
Absolutely. Essentially, the states made a gamble in the mid-2000s. They were gambling that the federal government would eventually come around and pass some version of the DREAM Act or maybe even a broader legalization bill. So they extended, you know, 4 or 5 years of discounted college to unauthorized students on the assumption that by the time they graduated, there'd be an opportunity to legalize. And that just hasn't happened because Washington has gridlocked on this issue. So the dilemma that, you know, this student faces and many others is that they graduate, you know, from excellent universities with high honors and then have to go into the underground economy or, interestingly, go into graduate school. It's creating sort of an unintended incentive to pursue graduate degrees. The nation really has to face this problem. It's not an issue. I mean, it is an issue for California, but only the Congress can resolve it. And unfortunately, in the debates of Washington today, the needs of immigrants generally and unauthorized immigrants are being completely neglected.
Another email from Tom, somewhat similar in tone. If an undocumented person graduates from a UC school, what will their future look like? What are the advantages to California to school, quote, these people. Luis DeCipio, you know, we were talking in the first half of the hour about problems in Richmond, the city of Richmond, north of Berkeley, and no doubt college, high school drop. Kids who drop out from high school are much more likely to turn to crime and other things that are harmful to all of us and to the entire community. I think you could make the argument that this is, you know, part of a solution to that, could you not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the benefits to the nation, I mean, even people who oppose immigration and focus on the illegality of this immigration will sort of concede that, you know, these young people, particularly the ones who have the skills and strengths to graduate from a four-year college or university, are a benefit to the society. What we haven't come up with is a strategy to legalize that population without it then becoming a legalization that includes their parents or their families or others. And, you know, that's sort of where the debate comes down or divides. You know, I think we should remember last December, the majority of the United States Senate actually passed the DREAM Act, and it was a filibuster that prevented it from going to President Obama's desk. So, you know, this is the DREAM Act. I mean, it's a very small piece of legislation that has a huge impact, and, you know, the majority of the country supports it as long as it's framed in terms of just being for students who came as very young children who then went on to succeed in college or to serve in the military.
Yeah. Luis Alejo, I want to, we're getting short on time, and I do want to, just before we let you go, ask you a question again about the Supreme Court nomination the governor is making. You had said earlier in the hour that you thought a non-Latino could, in fact, represent Latinos. We were talking about that in the context of the fact that there were no African-Americans on the state Supreme Court, but now it looks like we're going to have the fourth Asian American. Does that change your feeling about the nominee? If, for example, it had been an African American judge, as was rumored, would the feeling be different, do you feel?
No, well, I think that my sense is that it's disappointing when you have a long list of great legal minds that the governor could have chose from, and he missed out on that opportunity to take advantage of that. I mean, it doesn't take away from any other community, from any other candidate, from Professor Liu. He seems to be highly qualified, would do a very good job on the state's court. But certainly I think there's a sense from different communities of color that they would also like to see, you know, a member of their respective community just be able to serve, so that I think in every branch of government, whether it's the judicial branch, the legislative, the executive, that it's reflective of the demographics of our state. It doesn't mean that other folks can't do a good job and take issues of other communities concern into account, but it should certainly be reflective of the people of our state.
I'm sorry to cut you off. We are out of time. Assemblyman Luis Alejo, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be talking in the next hour, by the way, about the Supreme Court nomination, so stay with us for that. Thanks also to Professor Luis DeCipio down at UC Irvine. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer today is Danny Bringer. And our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.